Interior monologue.
I don't belong to this world. That much is apparent after only a few short years. This reality is not convincing. It isn't pleasing. It isn't what I would have designed were I given the choice. I would have made us all equally blind. Religion and hallucinogens are completely different issues as far as I'm concerned. There is no faith to be discovered at the hands of a synthetic chemical, nor is there any wisdom to be gleaned by drinking in endless hours of information from the world. And every time you think you've made a connection to some other human being, you must remind yourself that such connections are incredibly tenuous at best, completely fictional at worst. Larry is a deep disappointment, yes, but that's the nature of the world we live in, is it not? When your back is against the wall, you think of yourself. You don't think of the larger picture because you haven't got one. In the end, Larry will have only brought more grief and suffering upon himself. The radioactive blue will still go out, will still reach the young minds it is destined to. Larry can't stop us, can't make a profit from our historic motion. And in the moment when I realized my friendship with Larry had dissolved, there was no surprise and no pain, no sadness, no loss, only disappointment. A deep disappointment, which I first learned years ago. I could kill Larry myself if he were here. What would it matter? I remember clearly the first time I encountered radioactive blue. In its purest form, the blue can be absorbed through the skin, simply by inhaling or touching it. In its less refined form, however, it can be smoked, and this too is a powerful and terrifying experience, to be sure. The man in the black suit and I were sitting alone in my apartment. He produced a small vial which contained an ethereal blue powder. It gave off wisps of smoke as he removed the vial's lid. I could smell it across the room. It smelled like mint chocolate in a day by the oceanside. I was not inexperienced with psychedelic drugs in those days. I had taken my share of LSD and 2CB and DMT. He handed me the glass pipe, a broad smile on his unnatural face, and I began to shake with anticipation. Ripples from the experience I was about to have were shimmering backwards through time. The drug was affecting me before I had even taken it. And then, the appropriate dose measured for me, I smoked my first hit of radioactive blue. There is an orgiastic pulling apart at the seams. You can hold your hand up and watch your fingers disintegrate. You can feel some cosmic claw reaching down your throat and turning you inside out. You can choke on what it means to be a person. You can feel the entire galactic blanket wrapped around your nakedness. And there is no point of view from which you can properly observe the maelstrom. The disaster which is unfolding is yours. The devil which stands before you is actual. The radioactive blue is a trap and a promise. A glimpse of some serene and wonderful future which sits just out of reach. The radioactive blue strips you so thoroughly, leaves you with quite literally nothing but itself. It takes your place. It gets to know you. It subsumes you. It becomes you. You do not watch helplessly as this occurs, for you are no longer present to witness this horrible act of intrusion. The radioactive blue plays no games. The radioactive blue is not a menace. The radioactive blue is what will save us. I speak to you with the voice of blue, and my own voice, which slowly returns as the drug wears off, nearly a minute later. And now I am myself, and I am blue. This is no contradiction. The blue comes from another place, naturally. It is not of this earth, as you will certainly have surmised. And who needs this earth? Who is to say that our lives will not vastly improve thanks to the presence of the blue? I was beginning to wonder if the human race would ever mutate again, would ever seek the incisive hand of change ever again. And now I know. I owe everything I am today to the radioactive blue. I owe everything I am today to the radioactive blue, to that merciless sweetness, to its desperate, radical ways. We are not all meant for its ways. It is unfortunate, but true. The radioactive blue will leave many behind to suffer alone on this desolate hunk of rock. I'm sorry for them. Sad, perhaps, but let me tell you this. Should you smoke the radioactive blue without the proper preparation, preparation such as the man in the black suit gave to me, the radioactive blue will destroy your mind entirely. Larry's foolish friends at the halfway house found out the hard way. Larry himself will soon find out the hard way. You mustn't get in its way. And I will be sad to leave this world behind. It's the only reality I've ever known, after all. But change must come, and it must come now. Hello?
Hi, Billy, it's me.
Hi, Molly. Sorry I didn't call earlier. I've had a rough day.
Really? Does that mean you won't be here when you said you'd be here?
Well, I didn't quite get finished. I may leave tomorrow, though. Harold will probably have things taken care of by tomorrow.
What is Harold taking care of? If Harold's taking care of things, can't you leave whenever you want? I don't understand any of this, Billy. I just want you to come home.
I know, but I don't want to arrive in Seattle until things are taken care of. It's not the way I do things. It sends the wrong message.
Did your mom call you? She was looking for you.
Yeah, she did call. Thanks for giving her the number.
She sounded better than I thought she would under the circumstances.
Yeah, she's hanging in there, isn't she? I hope I get a chance to see her before... I hope I get to see her soon.
I hope I get to see you soon. We can go see your mother together, maybe, if you aren't too busy after you get here. Maybe we can go see her. You need to do that anyways, right? Oh, Billy, this is just ridiculous. I miss you so much, I don't even want to talk about it. Do you want to spend some time with your mother?
Yes. And you too, sweetheart.
Don't you think this has to stop sometime?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I've been doing a lot of thinking, actually.
Oh, you have you? What exactly are you thinking about?
Oh, you know, this and that. Molly, you know I've never been the most expressive individual in the universe, and
That's an understatement.
You noticed. Well, I wanted to make sure that I had connected in the right way with you.
You're not very coherent when you get like this, Billy.
I know. Listen, Molly, please, just listen. Look, it's no secret I don't have much regard for this life, for who we are and what we are. I don't care for it much, so I wanted you to know that there are days when it amazes me that you and I have found each other, even though our time together hasn't been perfect. It's still been fairly incredible, hasn't it?
What in hell has gotten into you, Billy? This is why I hate all this secrecy crap. I have no idea what you're even talking about, but you make it sound like the end of the world.
Well, I don't mean to sound that way, Molly. I mean, of course it's not the end of the world. Not in so many words. I just...
You're a sweetie, all right. That's why this doesn't feel right. On some level, I have to believe that we are supposed to be together right now. Your work, whatever it is as important to you as mine is to me. What I do when I sit around all day and I wish I was anywhere but sitting in an office. I mean, the important parts of life are slipping by because we aren't together sharing them. That's not how it's supposed to work. The entire reason we came together in the first place was... I mean, it's just, you can't argue with destiny. You always lose.
Well, you're welcome to believe that, Molly. I mean, you're welcome to believe in fate or destiny or whatever you'd like to call it, but you'll pardon me if I don't follow you down that primrose path.
Oh, sure, I'll pardon you. I don't even want to have this argument. Even when we were together, we never sat up in the middle of the night and tried to figure out the nature of reality. Why now?
Listen, Molly, we never sat up in the middle of the night and argued about the nature of reality because we're complete polar opposites and we aggravate each other to no end. Oh, I don't mind. I mean, I'm invigorated by your crazy ideas.
What crazy ideas?
Well, I think it's beautiful the way you cling to this, that, and the other ridiculously ancient notion of universal harmony. And you know what? Physics may someday bear you out. Who the hell am I to say? I mean, I'm just some guy, right? Some kid with a big attitude.
You have such an endearing way of condescending to me, Billy. I love you and I hate you. Were you dropped on your head as a child?
Yes, Molly, I was in fact dropped on my head as a child, on purpose. My aunt was a biker chick.
Well, now that I have a diagnosis, I believe I can do something about it. But you have to come home.
Molly, you are so absolutely beautiful, I just don't know what to do about it.
Come home, that's what you should do about it. Are you afraid of losing this job? I mean, you can find another job anywhere. Some job where you don't have to lose your mind. We tried it this way and it doesn't work. You can't be afraid of making another change.
No, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything anymore.
You might just be afraid of me.
Well, there are ghosts in this world, Molly, and I think we're two of them.
Do you love me?
Yeah, I love you. Yeah, we'll be together as long as we possibly can be. When I come home, I want to make you dinner and take you dancing.
Dancing? You'll take me dancing?
Sure. Anywhere you want to go. I'll take you anywhere.
I'll hold you to that, you know. That's the kind of person I am.
I have to go, sweetheart. I'll call you in the morning.
Goodbye, Billy. Take care of yourself.